Thanks, Katie. Again, my name is Tyson Rafer. I'm the cotton and small grain specialist at the University of Tennessee. I'm going to talk today about the remote detection of nitrogen stress, specifically using an inexpensive digital camera. My purpose here today, I'm going to summarize the preliminary results of two established trials intended to provide insight into nitrogen rate, nitrogen timing, and the potential of several different approaches to adjust nitrogen rate based on seasonal and temporal variability in season. I've been working on this program, this problem, for over 7 years now. Started in 2009. We looked at active sensors, passive sensors, SPAD meter, leaf nitrogen, really just trying to manipulate nitrogen rate in season to adjust temporal and spatial variability. We reasserted the value of nitrogen in cotton, as everyone who looks at this type of work does. We can definitely increase uptake, and we see a quadratic response to applications. After we exceed roughly 80 or 90 pounds, we see a decrease in lint yields. We know it's a big issue. We see a lot of variability in field, both spatially and temporally. We have a tremendous number of devices that would give us insight into that variability. But I can speak for Tennessee, and I think this figure is true for the Mid-South. We're at less than 0.5% adoption rate of these technologies. The GreenSeeker specifically is used on one farm in the state of Tennessee that I'm aware of. I really struggle with this. We understand that there's power to these tools. I spent a lot of time thinking about it, and I think there's two main reasons that we've seen very poor levels of adoption. I think the first is a perceived penalty for delaying those applications until flowering, and flowering being really the first stage that we can detect nitrogen stress. We have very little uptake early in the season. It is quite a challenge to figure out what your nitrogen status will be at peak flower at the early square stage. I think the second issue, and I think the second issue may be even bigger than the first at times, is the perceived complexity or expense. We can argue about this, but perceived complexity and expense of the technology and other equipment and labor constraints at the time that this technology would need to be used. So with those two things in mind, started looking at alternative approaches, and we looked at a handheld device at Arkansas. This is work that started in 2003 to assess turf grass color, the darkness of a green. They were using an inexpensive camera at that point. It has progressed now. Rory et al. At Arkansas with Purcell adapted this to corn, and it's marketed now as the Field Scout Green Index. Basically, you can purchase a phone application and a color board. That color board standardizes the image. You place a leaf across the pink background, and then it's going to tell you, it'll give you some value of how dark the green is. So that will give you insight into chlorophyll content and nitrogen content. We evaluated this in cotton, and I want to share a little bit of that data with you. This is from 2012. We looked at three different camera angles and compared the dark green color index that we calculated from those angles to leaf nitrogen and SPAD meter from a Minolta chlorophyll meter. The laboratory dark green color index, this is where we pulled the two main stem leaves that we would typically pull for leaf nitrogen analysis. You can see the correlations with leaf nitrogen are moderate. The relationships with the chlorophyll meter are strong. We moved to a more practical approach for a consultant, to the nadir or off-nadir approach. The relationships are weaker than if we were to pull those main stem leaves. But when you look at chlorophyll content detected from the off-nadir position, basically standing the color board up and taking a picture across the row, I'm very happy with the relationship of 0.818. So I think there's a lot of potential here. So with that in mind, we constructed a few trials there at Tennessee. Our main objectives were to evaluate the impact of splitting applications between planting and immediately before flowering, or delaying the application altogether until immediately before flowering on seed cotton yield. Second objective was to evaluate the ability of an inexpensive camera to provide insight into nitrogen status in a time frame which would allow an ameliorating fertilizer nitrogen application to be made. And finally, and this is one that we're still pursuing, is to integrate a digital image processing device into a toolbar-based system which could generate a spatial map of nitrogen statuses and then potentially drive variable rate nitrogen applications, that being our end goal. So for 2016, we had two locations. The first was at Milan Research and Education Center in Milan, Tennessee. We also had a location at Ames Plantation. Unfortunately, the Ames Plantation location did not receive rain in the month of August, and it's hard to get a nitrogen response without much water. Design was randomized, complete block with four replications. We had eight treatments. The first four treatments were 0, 40, 80, and 120 pounds of nitrogen applied at planting. And then treatments 5 through 7 were a split, 40, 80, and 120, with half applied at planting and other half applied at flower. The last treatment being a delayed application where we apply all at early flower. Collected a large number of measurements in season, plant height, note of white flower, leaf nitrogen, whole plant partitioning. A lot of these are still being processed now, or leaf nitrogen, a whole plant partitioning data set. I will not be presenting on that. But I will share with you our SPAD meter readings, NDVI data that we collected from the active green seeker, dark green color index from a handheld device, from a fixed position toolbar mounted, and then I'll touch on, I don't have any calculated from a UAV, but I'll touch on that effort at the end. So, diving into the yield response that we saw at Milan, this was a very typical curve that we see. We do see that plateau. You'll note I do have the splits included here, blue representing all applied at planting, green representing a split between planting and flowering. I broke these out just to test for significance. Just looking at the 80-pound rate, that's the only application that we had represented at flowering, planting, and then split between flowering and planting. No significance for timing. And I think this is very significant. You know, the first perceived issue with delaying a nitrogen application is it may hurt our seed cotton yields. We didn't see that at the Milan location in 2016. One of the things that was a little disappointing, we didn't see any differences between a full application at planting or a split between planting and flower. It was a fairly dry June. I think this had a lot to do with it. We typically would see large potential for loss mechanisms to come into play, but given we had a fairly dry spring, I think that's why we didn't see differences in the all applied at planting or the split. So I want to move into some of the in-season measurements. This is what we would typically see when we're collecting this data. We lay that leaf on the color standard board. We have an iPhone app that's downloaded, and so we would snap these pictures in the field. The left is an untreated, and you can see it's quite a bit more chlorotic than an 80-pound applied, much darker leaf. We can see these differences. It would be fair to assume that the camera would be able to pick up those differences too. Each one of those leaves we directly compared. We pulled that leaf and took chlorophyll meter readings on that leaf. And this is the relationship we found. July 7th, I mentioned earlier, it's very difficult to detect nitrogen status early on in the season, July 7th representing early flower. Not a real large range in either chlorophyll meter readings or dark green color index readings. But by August 8th, we have quite a range and a moderate relationship with chlorophyll meter readings at 0.55. I would argue, and I'm really excited to get the leaf nitrogen data back and look at the relationships with leaf nitrogen in these parameters. But considering the field of view, you know, we're looking at the entire leaf with this color app. I'm not sure that it may be more accurate than the SPAD meter. So excited to get the leaf nitrogen data back. And we did collect some of this data from a toolbar based platform. We basically mounted this device on a spider sprayer. You can see the color standards in view. I would process this image to drop out the shaded soil, the soil, and really just to focus on the sunlit canopy. And that's going to be the values that I have here at the bottom of the graph, the dark green color index collected from the toolbar. I want to start with this graph. This is nitrogen rate on the x-axis. We have SPAD meter, NDVI from the Green Seeker, dark green color index from the handheld phone app, and then dark green color index calculated from the toolbar. You can see that the NDVI, which would kind of be a standard, relationship was 0.486, so strong, but not as strong as what we were able to do with the dark green color index calculated from the toolbar. I think a lot of this has to do with soil interference, and that's the reason we have strong relationships with the dark green process, dark green color index image. Moderate relationships with the dark green color index handheld, and these directly compared to what we see with the chlorophyll meter. Wayne mentioned he spent a lot of time looking at data and didn't have an explanation for it. I'm hoping you can help me here. This is seed cotton yield response, and I compared those same four parameters, SPAD, NDVI, dark green color index, handheld, and the dark green color index toolbar. I would expect to see a quadratic response to parameters that are very sensitive to biomass, given that we do see a yield penalty at higher nitrogen rates occasionally. But if anyone could tell me why the single leaf picture is better at predicting yield than any of these other devices, that was quite shocking to me. And we're not talking about a tremendous amount better, but 0.485 versus 0.339, 0.246 from NDVI, and 0.369 from the SPAD meter, this has been quite puzzling to me. So looking forward to having another year of data, but I would have never guessed that just looking at a single leaf would have been better at predicting yield than NDVI or some of these other approaches. The next step, I've got just a couple minutes left here, the next step is incorporating this application from a drone. And you can actually see in the left image, we've got the color standards in field. This is the Ames location. This is the Milan location. It's a little washed out, I apologize. But we are trying to collect the same type data from an RGB camera mounted to a drone. And we're really excited to have Lori Duncan working on this project there in Knoxville. I want to close to say this is a very challenging data set to collect. We are looking at passive sensors, and I think it's definitely a challenge. We can try to correct with the in-field view standards, but even with the color standards, we were dodging clouds throughout the collection period. If this is going to be a tool that has any utility, we're going to have to address the cloud cover passive issues pretty quickly. With that said, we did find in the 2016 data set, splitting or delaying the nitrogen applications had no impact on seed cotton yields. And the dark green color index appears to be a very valid substitute for the chlorophyll meter. It's not outrageous to think that a consultant would have to wait for a sunny day to take these type measurements from a handheld device. And we did see some very promising results from the dark green color index calculated from that toolbar. And I think it could compete with an active approach, Green Seeker Crop Circle, if we could address the issues with the passive sensor. I do want to thank Cotton Incorporated for sponsoring this work, and I think I've got 53 seconds for questions. Yes, sir.
Don't get stressed out on this. One year data. If you get the same effect next year, then it's one of the things that, and I think this is the problem that we see a lot with cotton as a perennial. That plant, what you see on, say, July 1, could be totally different on August 1 because of the rainfall, because of the drought. And then that plant's ability to rebound, you know, maybe top crop, for example. You know, you can have a beautiful crop, July 1, that correlates pretty good. But then all of a sudden, something happens. But that plant adjusts. airplane or?
By hand, whirly bird.
Because one of the things that we run into is that, you know, those late applications, I've made ground applications up early blooms with the tractor going slow and night entry, but it's all related to being a synthetic plant.
Right.
And if it doesn't rain,
right,
you don't have irrigation.
Right. Right.
Then this late application is really going to help keep you the different plant.
I did not take that data this year, but I was excited, and that it didn't make it in this picture. But when we apply these nitrogen plots, we have adjacent official variety trials. So I've got 36 different varieties represented, and I fully intend to evaluate. I mean, you can visually see the differences. A lot of it's pubescent, I think, from eyesight. Tan is not something I thought about previously. And definitely, I'm going to look at that. Thanks for coming.
So this
is a standard 4th to 5th main stem fully expanded leaf that we would pull for leaf nitrogen analysis. And so it's one of those, my team right sitting in front of you, you got to where you kind of just, you could see it. It's that first, the large leaf right there in the top of the canopy, main stem leaf that we typically pull.